Luke chapter 22. To save time, I will begin to read at verse 15 to verse 20. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. This is the first cup during the evening up in the upper room. Now he introduces the communion. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this, share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup, in the same way with thankfulness, after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Listen now as Nicole Murphy comes to remind us by music what this really means. How beautiful are the feet of him.
How beautiful the hands that served the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty road and the hill to the cross. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the heart that bled, that took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that chose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. And as he laid down his life, we offer this sacrifice, that we will live just as he died, willing to pay the price, willing to pay. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure lives so that others may live. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful. beautiful, the hands that serve, the wine and the bread, and the sons of the earth. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ.
Thanksgiving. What an appropriate day to which we come to church to celebrate the communion, the Lord's table. The original word is the Eucharist, to be thankful, to express to God something of our sense of gratitude to Him for what He has done on our behalf and what He has done for our eternity. This morning I want to take a few minutes to take us into this whole atmosphere of thanks from the life of Christ as he was about to go to the cross on your behalf and mine. I find a very interesting statement, part of her book. The atheist, Madeline Meyer Ahar, wrote these words. We need a decent, modern, sophisticated, and workable set of standards by which we can get along with one another as well as with ourselves. We need a decent, sophisticated, and workable set of standards by which we can get along with others and ourselves. She goes on to write, "There are no supernatural forces, no supernatural entities such as gods or heaven or hell or life after death. There are no sophisticated forces, nor can there be." I love that. Nor can there be. What arrogance that there can't be any supernatural forces. We atheists believe that nature simply is, matter is, and material is. Now, the reason I read that to you is because there are many, many people who would not classify themselves as being atheists that have a sense of being thankful, but they don't know to whom or to what, or is it necessary to have anyone? We look at the life of Christ as he begins the introduction of the Lord's Supper, and immediately we enter into what I call the transcendence of thanksgiving. The word transcendence means to go beyond the seen, the natural, to soar into the unseen, to go beyond what the eyes can see and what the ears can hear. It means to go beyond the comprehension of one's own mind. This is what we see Jesus doing as he introduces the institution of the Lord's Supper, or the communion, as we call it. In this transcendence of thanksgiving, I see a mystery. Thanksgiving is a mystery. Because if you look at what Christ did, listen to our text or follow in your Bibles. After he had presented the cup, he gave thanks. Now I want you to note, my friends, that the scripture doesn't say he had a thankful feeling, that he was somewhat grateful. There are people who have grateful feelings, thankful feelings, but it is not related to anyone outside of themselves. It simply happens. When the scripture says that Jesus gave thanks, the question we ask ourselves is, to whom was he giving thanks? He was not giving thanks in a vacuum. He was not saying that things are. Things exist. Whatever is, is. He was not saying that. The verb says that he was addressing someone. He gave thanks. To whom then is he speaking? Is he speaking to the disciples? was Jesus speaking to his disciples and he was saying to them, I am really thankful to you for? Obviously, he was not. Was he speaking to the angels in heaven? Obviously, he was not. We must go back to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew and verse 25 and listen to our Lord as there was this feeling of gratitude and thanksgiving and praise as he lifted his eyes to heaven and he says these words, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. He was expressing thanks to someone who was there as we express thanks to someone who is there. To have just a sense of gratitude without anyone to whom we express this gratitude is to leave us, my friends, at square one again. We just return to the same place knowing that someone ought to be there. We say it, but we don't know to whom we are speaking. Jesus addressed himself to someone who was really there. Madeline O'Hara says we need a set of standards by which to live. Now let me ask you, there are something like 5 billion, 500 million people in the world. If each of us develops our own standard, which one is right? Who could say that my standard is better than yours or yours better than mine? But Jesus lifts us, my friends, out of the seen to the unseen. Here's the mystery of thanksgiving. It goes beyond what is. It goes beyond what can be, and it goes right into the existence of a person who actually exists outside of time and space. That is what makes thanksgiving so mysterious. I like the word of G.K. Chesterton. He says, if my children wake up on Christmas morning and they give thanks for someone, thanks to their parents for giving, putting candies in their stocking, is there no one for me to thank for putting feet into mine? If the children realize that someone put those candies there, who gave me feet to put in my stocking? Here, my friends, we are not simply saying, I feel thankful. We're not simply saying, I have a feeling of thanks. We are actually objectively saying that outside of myself exists someone who really exists, who is loving, who is caring, who is gracious, and I, as Jesus Christ did in that time, I am expressing myself to him. And this is why thanksgiving is such a mysterious thing, because we do not see with our naked eyes the God to whom we addressed. I shared with my Sunday school class this morning, and I told them that they could they'll get the first pick at this. But I always remember the story of the senator who was having breakfast with the late President Lyndon Johnson. And at the breakfast table, he bowed his head. And he was mumbling a few words. And His Majesty the President said to him, Senator, Senator, speak up. And he said, with all due respect to you, Mr. President, I wasn't talking to you. God is the one that we address in thanksgiving. It is not something we simply do. He is really there. He exists. And he has given to us every good and every perfect gift. And in the face of tragedy, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, I thank you, my Father. It is not, my friends, an empty statement. It is an objective statement having to do with the existence of a personal God. If my children wake up on Christmas morning and give their family thanks for putting candies in their stocking, do I have no one to thank for putting feet in mine? This morning, we are not simply feeling thankful. This morning, we give thanks to God. That's the mystery of thanksgiving. It is acknowledging him. It is responding to him. It is truly saying to him, you have acted, and I am grateful to you for acting. Secondly, look at the meaning of thanksgiving. What is the meaning of the word thanks? The root of the word is to have grace. Do you know, my friends, when sin entered the world, so gratitude exit it. Romans chapter 1 said, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Up until this time, gratitude and thanksgiving always went to God by Adam and Eve. And those around the garden that may have been there.
But when sin entered, gratitude went out. Thanksgiving is a spiritual dynamic produced by the grace of God. It is God acting in me, producing a sense, a feeling, if you please, due to what he's doing. His objective acts brings a sense of gratitude in me, and it goes back to him. Jesus was not receiving something for himself. He was not desperately in need, and God acted, and so he was able to say thanks. Jesus was saying thanks to God because he understood the purpose for which he came into the world. His life had a sense of meaning, a sense of direction, a sense of objectivity. His life did not consist of his own experience, but doing what the Father sent him to do. And with a sense that it was drawing near, Jesus was able to look up into heaven, and with a sense of absolute surrender because of the purpose of God for his life, he could say, "Thank you." Thanks, my friends, is a spiritual dynamic. I listened this past week to the report on the news. And they're saying when you find these drivers who push you and who they get angry at you if you say, "What are you doing?" The news person said, there's one way to handle an angry driver. Give him his way. Wow. Give him his way. And you know, there's one thing an angry driver never does when you give him his way. He never turns around and say, "Thank you." Never does that. He feels he has a right to it. He's self-assertive. He feels it is his right to do what he wants on the road. He feels it is his right to cut you off if he wants to. So that you do not get on his wrong half, you give in. What a tragedy. When we have to expect that people will be rude and nasty, it is a way of life. We are supposed to turn around and have a sense of gratitude. How can we have thanksgiving in the midst of that kind of an environment? I'll tell you how, friends. Thanks is a work of grace. Only the grace of God working in you and in me can make us thankful when people are rude and when people are ugly. My wife and I were up north at a wedding yesterday. And again, it is most interesting to me. We walked in through a door, and I saw some people coming behind me. So I allowed my wife to go through the door first. And knowing that people were behind me, I stepped back, and I opened the door for them to walk in. And they walked right through without acknowledging. Probably thought I was the bellboy. I don't know. Not even an acknowledgement. But you know what was the wonder of it, friends? I'll tell you what the wonder was. I didn't stand there and say, "What ungrateful people." No, I did not. I celebrated the fact that I could show kindness without looking for any returns. That's grace. And I was thankful to God for it, because that's not natural. I wasn't born with that. You weren't born with it. It is only when we can act supernaturally, it means, my friends, that grace is working. And I can give thanks to God that in the midst of ugliness, I could be just the opposite. Thanks be to God. They were spitting in his face. They were cursing him. They were questioning his character. They were undermining his purpose. The devil tried to get into the midst of his disciples, and Jesus could look at the last minute and say, "Thank you." That's because he knew Romans 8:28 before it was written, that in all things, God is at work. Let me quickly go to what I call the triumph of thanksgiving. The triumph of thanksgiving. You look at our text again, and we see what Jesus is about to face. He is about to be poured out. He took bread, and he said, "This is my body which is given for you." He took the cup. "This is my blood," the ultimate sacrifice. How could anyone in the face of ultimate sacrifice of him or herself say thanks? There had better be someone there who understand it. Time will not permit me. But listen to this. The curse the curse which Jesus experienced on the cross had to be exhausted. He must die death outright. And it was no ordinary death. It is said that he tasted death for every man. Every man's death was laid on the person of Jesus Christ. Death concentrated itself upon him. In the outer darkness, the vapors of death had been penetrated the very being of Christ. But he would hold nothing back. He must go to the whole road. He can't go halfway. He can't go this far in Calvary and turn back. If you and I are to be redeemed, he must taste death to its fullest for you and me. He did not die as a martyr. He did not die as a tragedy. His death was an acceptance of God's purpose. And he must take the road. For this cause came I into the world. His body, in his exquisite, tender body, he endured and accepted death for all. Death was softened for others, but not for him. He went all the way. He poured out his blood as the ultimate sacrifice. His death answered to the curse of sin and all the curses that sin had brought into the world. The death of Jesus Christ answered to it and paid the ultimate price for it. And in the face of that, he said, I thank you. What could there be in that to be thankful for? I talked about the purpose of God. But my friends, thanksgiving, as it is said in the communion, is an expression of Christ's, because there was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. He only could have unlocked the gates of heaven and let who in? Who does he let in? Us. He was giving thanks because his death was going to be your redemption and 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 your redemption. His death was not an isolated thing in history. It was the plan and the center of history, because long ago God promised that he would send his son into the world to redeem us. And listen to St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he writes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And that's why he gave thanks. Without his death, we would have nothing to celebrate this morning. Without his death, we could not face life. Because in his death, we understand the comprehensiveness of thanksgiving. In his death, we understand the comprehensiveness of thanksgiving. Listen, my friends, to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. This is the one we don't like. For everything, give thanks. In everything, for everything. How can one cope with the four? In, perhaps, yes, but four? What do I have to give thanks for when the bottom falls out of my life? What do I have to give thanks for when I'm disappointed in relationships? When I'm betrayed? What do I have to give thanks for when the very one I trusted did not turn out to be a trustworthy one? What do I have to give thanks for when the boss calls me in Friday afternoon and says, this is your last week? What do I have to give thanks for? When the child you have brought into the world disappoints you, what do I have to give thanks for? You know what I have to give thanks for, friends? That under those circumstances, in the death of Christ, there is the ability to recognize the greatness of God so that I know that in everything she is at work for my good. Everything. There isn't a single thing that happens to my life, good or bad, that God cannot intervene to bring light out of darkness, life out of death, comfort out of chaos. That's why we give thanks to God. That's how comprehensive it is. Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, he heard that a young lady was drowning. Dawson Trotman was an accomplished swimmer. He jumped into the lake to save this young girl, was able to get her in land, but he himself died, drowned. Someone rushed to Mrs. Dawson and said, "Dawson is gone." And she was sitting down, and with a sense of triumph of thanksgiving, says, "Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases." Wow. Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, we understand the comprehensiveness of thanksgiving. And when we look at life, we can face it with courage because we know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Let us pray. Oh God, this is Thanksgiving weekend. And for many, there are very few visible things for which to give thanks. But oh, take this into the transcendence, we pray. Make that man, that woman, make that father, that mother, make that employer, that employee, whoever, Father, is at the very bottom this morning, let them look neither to the right nor to the left, but make them to look up. Because God is there. Come see what desolation he has made. God, who is our refuge and our strength, help us to give thanks this morning. Because it is not material, it is not nature. It is God who is, and who is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. May thanksgiving go from this place to you this morning because of Calvary and for all of life in Christ's name. Amen.